When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh man. So the thing about it is anybody that knows me, I hate player rankings. It's my number. It's like, it's kind of what I'm known for, is I hate player rankings. And as I'm sitting here thinking
about
this.
Wait, that's what you're known
for? I'm known for that. That's what I'm known for.
You're like, known for hating player rankings.
Player rankings, because
of all the things in sports media you could be known for.
I'm the guy that hates player rankings. So in my corner.
I know you for loving
goat. You son of a...
I know you for saying, what is up, everybody? That's
not
what
doing
I know
it anymore.
Most
threw
for.
That one out. Okay, what is up, everybody? I just brought it back. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Denver Sports Podcast. We are evolving.
We all evolve. We're Pokemon.
We're presented as always by Breckenridge Brewery. By Breckenridge Brewery. The Avalanche Amber.
Nice cold
it's
Breck Brew right here.
A champion beer, I would call that one, the Avalanche Amber. Mm-hmm. A fall beer, but you know what? An all-seasons beer, if you ask me. I'm joined today, of course, by the great Ryan Konigsberg.
Hello.
An extra tan version of him.
I'm tan and mad.
And then another champion over here. It's AJ Hayfley.
It's true. I get to wear lots of champion banners this year.
Yeah. This is the year of AJ, actually.
This has been my year. Kansas win Fanatic.
Unbelievable.
The Habs win the cup, and I get married.
Is there anything else? Like, is there like anything else that can happen, or is it just...
On a personal note, I turned 35, which was always a goal of mine. So
okay. You had a goal to turn 35.
I didn't think I would make it. Okay. So turning 35 feels like a victory.
Well, congrats to you, man.
And in the, I haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
I've got a couple
weeks
left.
Knock on wood.
I keep joking to Z that this is when I die.
And oh,
she doesn't find
joke.
That nearly as
funny
as I do.
Yeah, it's not actually a funny one. I will say, I haven't celebrated a birthday for 8 years. 30 was the last one I did. After that, like, I just don't, there's nothing.
I don't really, celebrating a birthday, I feel like I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah.
Like.
You go to dinner. Or
right,
something.
Yeah. Like, I want to go to a nice dinner.
No,
yeah.
I think that sucks. I think one day of the year, you get to be all about you, unabashedly all about you. You should do it.
I do that every day.
Okay, well, if you're not wired like that, like me,
yeah.
who feels uncomfortable with that kind of attention and spotlight and stuff, then I,
yeah.
you know, one day of the year, I don't mind it. And, like, let's be real here. Like, I spend it with, like, three people tops.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm like, okay, like, small circle,
yeah.
private thing. Oh, I just get to choose my favorite of things, so...
So we got to dive into this one here, though, because
anyway.
So behind the scenes here, we released a graphic at 4:00. It's been about an hour. It's been sitting out there. We knew it would create some controversy. To step back even further, you know, we have our networks in PHNX, CHGO. And last week, CHGO, I thought, came up with a fantastic idea. It went incredibly viral. Everybody, it's not like the most original idea, you know, come up with the best number. Like, people have had these discussions before, maybe on a smaller scale. But all of the numbers and then putting it into a gorgeous graphic. Shouts to Joy. Am I saying his name right? Joy Spathis?
Spathis?
Spathis. All right, we don't know.
Yeah.
Shouts to him. It was a phenomenal graphic, and that's one of the cool things about our network. It's like, hey, we should all do that. It's kind of a cool idea. And so lo and behold, we thought this would be a lot of fun. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fun would you say making this graphic was, AJ?
I like war. I think it's fun. So I'm going with like a solid like 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll say this. It was fun for a little bit.
Yeah, it was.
Like, the first four debates in the Slack, like, I was actually at a Broncos press conference, but I was like, I can't miss these debates. Like, I got to be in this. I was like, I need to be,
like,
I need to be heard.
How was Russell Wilson today? I don't know. I was on my phone the whole time.
Yeah, so it was fun at first. Then it just got tiresome, and there was, like, headbutting over things that are impossible to decide.
Right.
That was just like, okay, now I'm sick of this.
Yeah.
And then the end, like, the ending of it was just like, there was all these little, like, edits. And, like, we actually, I think we had one, like, really bad miss on there,
yeah.
which is, like, eating away at me. And so, yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.
Eating away at me is fine.
We had a couple.
I should have had it. Mad about it.
We'll get to a lot of what maybe we felt were misses or what was, like, a debate. Now, here's the thing. There is the context for which this can just be a fun thing. Like, again, it's a player ranking. This is effectively a massive player ranking where we're looking at players. And not only player rankings are dumb because you're going across eras and how do you compare that? Going across sports, forget it. Like, how do you compare a pitcher versus a goalie? Like, how do you compare these things? It doesn't even make sense to. Well,
they're both very important, so it's easy enough to compare. It's when you compare a goalie to a goddamn kicker that things are going to start to get uncomfortable.
All right, so a couple things here that we have to say that were sort of the framework. One, we decided to go with just the big four. And this was a very, by the way, controversial decision right off of the bat of, like, do we involve CU and CSU? How do you compare a CU great to an NFL great? With soccer, it's even more difficult.
If you were going to compare CU and CSU, then you have to include DU.
Yeah.
Because that's a program that actually has success. So, like, you're right. You would have... I mean, they've got... You're talking about a bunch of national championships in the last 20 years.
I was going to say, I won't stand for that dig because this was all time.
Well, right. But I mean, like, we're talking about, like... If you were pulling a CU great, like I'm
a football great,
you're not pulling from anything that's recent. You're pulling from when you and I are kids.
And here's the other thing is like Byron Whizzer White,
right?
Like one of the most epic. He's number 24 at CU. Like, how do you compare that to Champ Bailey?
Yeah, how do you?
Well, and then if you were going to do that, how do you compare that to John Grant Jr., who's one of the greatest lacrosse players of all time and was part of the Mammoth?
You see the slippery slope.
This is why we were like, big four only. Let's just chill there.
And
respect to the other sports, respect to the other franchises. It was no dig at them. It just gets to the point where it's difficult. And you get so caught up in, like, are we really going to spend, like, what, 40 minutes debating Byron White versus Champ Bailey versus John Grant Jr.?
He was a Supreme Court justice.
Like, no, we're not. So we decided to just, the answer is no.
Yeah.
And so it was big four only.
Creative decision, and we knew it would upset some people. You know, shouts to our Rapids community that's been growing and great. But, it was a creative decision that we had to make.
Offense.
And it was, it was no offense. But nonetheless.
You can't say no offense in a player rating, though, because there's offense to the slight end.
It's exactly how it is. And then lastly, there's a lot of players, this is especially true in the NBA, that for whatever reason change numbers. Chauncey Billups is the greatest example of this. We had to decide.
You wore three different numbers.
There's a lot of Nuggets that wore three different numbers, like famous Nuggets that for whatever reason kept changing jersey numbers every 2 years. You had to pick a singular number, and it usually had to coincide with where their impact was made. And for Chauncey, it's unquestionable that the biggest impact was made in 2009 when he wore number 7. Like, it just, you can try to go, okay, well, he fits a little bit better here, a little bit better there. Got to decide he is a number 7. Tough break. Yep. He's a tough break because number break. 7 is one of those off-the-board numbers in Colorado.
I also think he took 7 like as like an ode to John Elway.
1,000%. 1,000%. So
I don't think Devon Taves took 7, but he has exceeded all expectations. Yes. With it.
So true now fun. We get into this list here. And we'll just go, or it's going to take a long time to go through it, but we'll kind of bring you behind the conversations that we were having and the debates and which ones really, really brought out the worst. 0 and 00. The same. I know they're different numbers. I know they're different. We used it basically as the same. Part of this is just to fit the graphic. Adam Ottavino ends up winning. Number 0. Darrell Arthur was the best Nugget. Olszewski. Like, this wasn't exactly a very competitive field.
Yes, for sure. I mean, that one was quick in and out.
Yeah, quick in and out. Number 1, very contentious. Very contentious. If you told me, though, like, all right, who's the number 1 in Colorado sports? Again, erasing the Chaunceys and this or that. To me, a child of the 80s, grew up in the 90s, Jason Elam's an iconic number 1 in Denver sports to me. Just iconic. He was a great kicker. Go ahead. Cook, AJ.
I mean, look, I love Jason Elam. Like, I grew up on Jason Elam just like everybody else in this room did.
63 yards? Come on now.
Exactly. I was actually playing hockey the day that he made that kick.
Sounds right.
And somebody was on the little radio and was like, oh, my God, Jason Elam. And it was like a big thing. We all stopped and celebrated because Broncos, you know?
Yeah.
But it was that's his iconic kick, right? If you think about Jason Elam, is that the kick that you think about?
Yeah, like, also, I think of some overtime winners.
Does he have an Adam Vinatieri
iconic
big game kicks? Because right now the argument for Jason Elam seems to be, we liked him. He made one record kick.
And he was the kicker for 15 years.
He was here for a long time. And we liked him, and
look, he was a really good kicker.
He was on a couple of Super Bowl teams, and we liked him, and that just seemed to drive the narrative of the conversation of Yeah, like, it's not his fault that he's a kicker, but it's his limitation.
So this is a perfect segue into one of the big things that makes this tough. Does team success during a player's time matter?
Yeah.
Because no matter how much you could say no, it's emotionally
actually,
it matters.
It's actually the perfect reason why this is tough, because you can go ahead and say Varley is the reason, is the guy that he's going up against.
Yeah.
A great player in a not great era. And this is the contrast, is you have a low importance leverage, player in a very important era versus the opposite.
A low importance player who did not have big moments during their run.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's my thing, is if you could point to some Jason Elam kicks in the postseason where he won some games, he ties, and he did some, you know, and like, all the kicks are important, right? Like, they all matter and blah, blah, blah. But can we name one between the three of us, one really big kick that he made in their Super Bowl run?
I feel like we're forgetting one or two, though, to be fair. But you are right. But you're right.
No doubt that, like, time has taken some of the... But also, like, the reason that we remember some of the kicks from Vinatieri is because they were transcendent moments. But we remember certain kickers.
Give Varley his due real quick, just because he didn't make the final cut.
Yeah, and so Varley was he's the second greatest Avalanche goalie ever. He's second in wins. He actually leads in losses because, again, the era.
Play a lot, yeah.
He was second in Vezina voting in 2013-14, in which he led them to a – you know, he backstopped them. That weird, goofy team that didn't belong there. He backstopped them to first place. He won Patrick Waugh a Jack Adams trophy because that's what goalies do for their coaches. And he was easily the second best Avalanche goalie ever. And here for 8 years. I mean, it wasn't like a 3 or 4 year stint like a Philip Grubauer where it was like it was solid, but you know, it was a real stint here. So the longevity thing for Elam, 15 years in one place, and 15 years as a kicker,
it's a lot.
Is a great run and a testament to how good he really was. But you're talking about a legit number one true blue starting goaltender in his prime that put up iconic moments. I mean, the shutout in Chicago is something that Avalanche fans who remember that will remember it forever.
Right.
Yeah. You know, now it's a regular season.
How many saves?
54, I believe. So, and you're talking about just a guy that did not produce any kind of postseason success.
Right.
So he had his own limitations there.
It's just the inverted thing there. The team success versus not.
His importance to those teams was significantly higher than Elam's.
Yeah.
Elam was on better teams.
Well, only one thing I want to say about this is Jason Elam clearly had an impact because I was actually arguing against him in this, and he still won. I'm just anti-kicker.
That era is just like, it's funny, man. It 97, 98 is in so many ways. 96, 97, 98 is like peak Denver sports. Maybe, we'll see. Maybe we can surpass that here coming up, but that's like peak, and there's like and that's, there's just something about that, I think. I will say, Michael Porter's number one. Outside shot, he could pass these guys. I don't think it'll happen, but outside shot. He's a very transcendent talent.
I don't think there's an outside shot.
You think it's an inside?
He's going to. Like, right now, he's more potential than...
For sure.
Than reality. But if he lives up to that potential, if he plays out the contract, if he's healthy...
Right.
Blah, 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 blah. He lives up to all the superlatives that have followed him his entire life.
Yeah.
All
right.
Alex, he's that kind of talent.
It just feels less and less likely because three back surgeries. But nonetheless, that's my point, is he is a talented enough player that it's on the table.
Allie, how long is... the show been going on?
Yeah, we got to keep rolling.
14. All right, 14 minutes. We're through two numbers.
All right, here we go. Number two.
We've got a lot.
Alex English. The competitor was Troy Tulowitzki. Here's the thing for Alex English. Led the 1980s in scoring. He's number one in so many Nuggets categories. He had the longevity and the peak. He scored an enormous amount. And he is the captain, the number one guy of one of just four golden eras in the Nuggets history. He's a great player. He's on the Mount Rushmore of all-time great Nuggets. Tulowitzki's very great as well. It's a tough one, but I still feel like this is pretty easy.
Without Tulo's injury problems, Tulo could have been the greatest shortstop maybe ever.
Yeah.
But that's not the reality that we lived in. He got hurt too much. It ended poorly. It
kind
ended,
of a douche too.
Exactly. And he left. He left no bridge alive. Like he just not fond.
Alex
memories.
English class act as well.
Not fond memories. Alex English rules.
Number three is Allen Iverson. Now here's what's interesting. It's not a great number across the board. Some people in the Nuggets, when we did this for Nuggets, we were revealing it. Ty Lawson was a greater Nugget than Allen Iverson. I think that's insane. Ty Lawson was here a little bit longer and was, you know, but come on, 27 points per game for Allen Iverson. Here's the interesting one. Russell Wilson's number three.
Iverson was great.
It's a 2 years with the Nuggets. It's 2 years. This is a very low bar to clear for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if Russell Wilson got any love in this, I was going to throw a fit because he hasn't played a game. But I think he could probably get it this year.
Yeah, he beats the Chiefs once.
It might take... This year, you would need like an iconic moment and you would need some kind of deep run or a championship. Yes. I mean, Iverson, look, Iverson was here for 2 years. They won one playoff game. Like,
if Russ takes the Broncos from the cellar for 6 years to first place in the AFC West this year, I think he probably gets regarded in that way.
It's a pretty low bar. Number four, Rob Blake. Your other options here was Paul Millsap and Kenyon Martin. Good
players. Hard choice for the Abs, too, because Tyson Berry was right there. Yeah. And Bowen Byram will take the spot someday.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? He's going to be number four?
Yeah.
Wow. That seems like a bold take to me. Number five, Carlos Gonzalez. I feel like this is another easy one. Cargo, you're going up against some not-so-great players. Matt Prater was the nom for the Broncos, which is funny. Cargo is an easy one. Are you dying over here? Down the wrong pipe.
Brought up another kicker.
Oh, yeah. It really killed him.
No more kickers.
The next one's Eric Johnson. Longevity, everything else. He's not going up against anyone. Jay Cutler is maybe his best competition.
Yeah, EJ. Yeah. Good call.
He is Mr. Av.
And honestly, like, sure. Eric Johnson would have been one of those guys that I think actually would have lost out on most of the top 20 numbers. But this is a weak number. Six, for whatever reason, just kind of a weak number. Number seven is the easiest one that we'll do. John Elway. What would it take for somebody to be a better number seven? Is it even possible?
I mean, he would have to do what Joe Sakic has done.
Even then, though, like if you're first, you have to like blow away a Mount Rushmore name.
It would have to be a Bronco, and they'd have to win three Super Bowls.
Well, it's not going to be a Bronco, can it? I mean, can it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah. Oh, I see.
I'll ask if Kel McCarr was wearing seven, could we have that conversation?
Not yet. It would take a lot. Kel McCarr would have to really do. It wouldn't take two Stanley Cups, I don't think.
I don't think there's ever a point that Kel McCarr could be sports in Denver. Like, John Elway is sports in Denver.
When you talk about. Here's where the debate is tough, because if we talk about the greater player in their sports, it's one thing. But, like, when you say, like, Colorado sports number seven. That's where we're saying it would be so hard for you not to think John Elway.
There's a cultural impact that's hard to gauge and seemed, just in my opinion, seemed to get liberally applied here.
Strong agree.
As we went through this, it was like, culturally, this guy was really important.
For me,
culturally, F that guy, LOL. And it just didn't feel consistent.
Culturally, for me, I would say should only be a tiebreaker. I don't think it should be factored into this. We just do greatest. But the Elway piece of this is just tough anyway because, I mean, Elway is also really great.
Town Nazem Kadri lost.
Number eight, Kale McCarr. Very easy. Early in his career, he's not going up against great players. Eight, very likely to be another number that when it's all said and done is a lock. Nobody will pass that one.
Yep.
I love Kale McCarr. Number nine, Vinny Castilla.
This one had a little bit of juice on it. Not only just like Duchesne, he was never going to compete just because people don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
But this was a Rapids thing kind of came in here.
Yeah.
With Connor Casey. And by the way, I love Connor Casey. He was literally my introduction to the Rapids. And, you know, played for the national team a little bit and all that stuff. But I thought this was like a trump card. It was like, Vinny Castilla is the all-time leading Mexican-born home run hitter ever.
Right.
350 home runs.
Well, he was part of the Blake Street Bombers.
Right, I mean,
he's an iconic Rocky. There was no way that
we
were going to let Vinny Castilla not win number nine.
If you ask someone, depending on who you ask, but if you ask someone name the greatest Rockies, they might go Todd Helton, Larry Walker, Vinny Castilla.
Yeah. Vinny Castilla would be on everybody's top 10 and would slip into some top fives.
Yeah. Number 10
was an easy one, number 9. Number 10 is a tough one. We originally had Dante Bichette and I think that he is probably the greatest one. Canceled over the last week. Very, very, very problematic and gets moved. Emmanuel Sanders ends up taking it. Emmanuel Sanders, a worthy, I think, like replacement. This one does get tough because when you're talking about grading a player, an athlete, and their greatness, there's a little bit of like this other stuff. Again, how much do you weigh that as a tiebreaker thing? Nonetheless, we made the decision to take him off that.
Yeah, we made the decision to just not celebrate somebody who has been talked about in the last week, to just not be a good human being.
Yeah, the difference... It's always tough. These things are always tough for me. It's the same with musical artists or this or that of, are we burning the Library of Alexander if we're talking about the context of they played the game, like this is the part of the history? It's tough. Nonetheless, we took a vote on it. That's the way that it broke. If somebody else wanted to make an argument and say, hey, Dante Bichette was better, we agree, but he didn't make our list for the reason
you're explaining. Wasn't there a late candidate too? Oh, it was just, in my head, I was thinking like, what buffs would I have made a case for? I would have made a Cordell Stewart case here.
There you go.
Ooh, Slash. Yeah. I love that guy.
Number 11, Brad Hopp. Anything here?
It's not Monte Morris, Matt Calvert, or Bobby Anderson.
Some people were like, for real on Monte Morris, and I think that was a tough one. By the way, there was a lot of players, I think, Nuggets that were right on the fence at 11 as well.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, that's just a, like a Matt Calvert is not going to win out in something like this, but very popular. People love that guy.
But we could have done the cultural thing with Bobby Anderson, who went to Boulder High School, CU, right, and played for the Broncos. But he was, his Broncos career is pretty short.
And Brad Hopp was part of the 07 team and a meaningful part of it, yep, too. Not like he was on it.
He's pretty awesome.
Was really good. He had the home run in San Diego, that 14th inning game.
Number 12 is Fat Lever, another iconic and beloved Nugget. Another guy that was jersey retired. I'm glad he made a lot of Nuggets, by the way.
Are you sure that the jersey retired?
Yeah, we had to look a bit up. I had forgotten. Yeah, it just happened like 2 years ago, and somehow I forgot.
I laughed so hard about it.
Were you watching that? Yeah, like,
yeah,
it's so funny. Like, I was there for all of this stuff,
so,
and you forget.
Funny to me.
I love Fat Lever, just like Alex English, two of the most lovable Nuggets of all time, and still, obviously great.
And, like, stay around in the conversations, and I love that.
He's 180 pounds, and he has multiple 20-rebound games. Like, he's an insane player. You know?
Also, I feel like it can only happen in the 80s where your nickname is just Fat.
Oh, yeah, totally. Number 13, Kaminsky. What do we have here? That's not a great number. Not a great number.
I mean, Val Kaminsky was really good, and you hope, given the contract that he just signed, that Val Nichushkin ends up...
Yeah, might not even be the best Val to wear 13
this,
for the...
Right. Yeah, and maybe not in time, but certainly through their respective Avalanche careers, it's not even close. Kaminsky was significantly more impactful than Nichushkin.
Mm. Yeah.
So, significantly. I saw some people today trying to make this argument. No. No.
Recency bias is really strong.
It is really strong.
I'm actually
really
strong.
But
as a person,
so is
pro
golden,
recency bias.
I was going to say, so is golden age thinking. Like, everything is very difficult, I think, the two of those. There's a good tension. Andre Scalarraga at 14 is an easy one. Another iconic Rocky.
Yeah. Someday that home run he hit in Florida will land.
Yeah. Let's take a break before we get to 15. A very
real quick
fun
on Andre Scalarraga. That was the longest home run in history, and there was like Andres Galarraga history erasure, and they changed the number.
Yeah, they did. They lowered it.
They lowered it.
Yeah.
Insane.
Rudo is asking, how close is Val already?
Nichushkin? Not.
Mm.
He would need three more years like the one that he just put up in another good postseason run. So he's got a lot of work to do. He's got an 8-year deal to do it, but he's not that close today.
All right. Let's take a break. On the other side, Jokic, the easiest 15 possible, and I will hear no other arguments. Actually, I will hear them because they'll be fun to shoot down.
Let's give a shout out to DraftKings Sportsbook, where you can bet $1 on UFC 277, get $100 in free bets just for playing along. Doesn't even matter if your fighter wins, but as long as you bet $1 on a fighter in 277, you will get what are you freaking out about?
No, we're fine.
You'll get $100 in free bets from our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. So make sure you check them out. Make sure you use that code DNVR when you sign up over at DraftKings Sportsbook and get all of those bets in. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Also, a shout out to our friends over at Vaca TV. If many of these players existed in the current era, you wouldn't even have been able to see them on TV because of billionaire greed. But Vaca TV has a sweet solution for that, an opportunity to watch your Nuggets and your Avalanche and your Colorado Rockies on their platform for cheap. We're talking $25 a month when you use the code DNVR. Go to avaca.tv/DNVR to sign up for their streaming service that includes Altitude. It includes AT&T Sports Network, and it includes DNVR. You could be watching this on there right now, too. So check out our friends over at Avaca TV.
Back here, number 15. We're going down the list talking about the internal debates and what was presented. Number 15 to me is the easiest one. I'm shocked. I'm actually shocked that there were multiple people today that were like, hey, man.
Mello.
What are we doing? Guys, the Nuggets have a guy on the roster, scores the same amount of points as Mello in his prime on like four fewer attempts, is a two-time MVP, which is not a thing that happens on accident. It actually, the second time, happened very begrudgingly. Like, yeah. Nobody wanted to vote for him, and they're like, we have to. Yep. Landslide in his favor, despite the fact that they didn't want to. Objectively a better player. George Karl, Carmelo Anthony's own coach, who, by the way, is pro-Melo. This is not a guy. I know he throws barbs at him, but he's not like, when you ask him about like greatest players he ever coached, he puts Melo right there at the top. Oh, and he had a very long, distinguished career coaching a bunch of different players. Even he's like, it's no contest. What are you talking about? Are you kidding? Do you guys understand what Jokic is? This one, I think 99% of people, but there's still some people out there that think, for whatever reason, they, you know, Melo, it's got to be him. It's got to be this, that. And then on top of that, if you go to playoff career, who do you think has more playoff career wins in a Denver Nuggets uniform? Carmelo Anthony, who went to the Western Conference Finals 1 year, or Nikola Jokic?
Yeah, the 1 year.
Jokic. 1 year, because guess what? Every other year,
four or five games.
Swept, yeah. One game, swept, one game. Like,
wasn't that the whole thing? Is that he had like the Kevin Garnett in Minnesota vibes to him? Like they made the playoffs every year and then they lost?
Right. There is literally no case you could make for Carmelo. Like it's not even, there's not even an insane person.
There really is not. I honestly do. Anybody that, I know this is going to sound like pompous or anything, but anybody like really, that understands basketball, there's just no way you could confuse those two.
Or even just understand, like, you don't even have to understand basketball, you just have to watch it.
We can move on. I just wanted to get that out there, because I thought there was like 10 replies that were like, Melo and Jokic should have been split. What are we talking about? Yeah. What are we talking about?
Yeah, well, when you open up the door to splitting a jersey. Yeah,
we'll get to that shortly.
It's not an open door.
Number 16, Jake Plummer. Who would have guessed? Actually, I love Jake Plummer, and he was great. But not exactly a murderer's row. Zadorov, was he
Jake Plummer's third best quarterback in Broncos history.
He's a really Jake Plummer's awesome. You don't have to tag me.
Craig Morton feelings. Russell Wilson doesn't have.
We're getting to some icons here. I mean, we're starting to really hit a bunch of them in a row here. Number 17, Todd Helton. Another number that's not really controversial. Number 18, Peyton Manning. Another number that's not very controversial. Are any of those ones up for debate? Are up for the taking? I guess they are. They're not so. Peyton Manning's 18 would be really tough. Todd Helton 17.
Would be really tough. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
It'd be really tough.
Hopefully.
Number 19.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Number 19 is off limits. Number 19 has a great one. Charlie Blackman's there. Joe Sakic murder is like, it's a sweep. That's a number that's not untouchable, but probably untouchable. If you told me, like, are you bet for or against it ever being picked? Easy bet. Minus 700 odds that it'll never be touched.
It won't. Shout out to Rashan Salam, though.
Do you think worse than minus 700?
Dude.
50 years?
Never.
All right.
If Elway is untouchable, Sakic is untouchable.
Yeah, that's true. Number 20. This one, I think,
going to end up contributing more championships to Denver than Elway.
This one had some. This one had some controversy to it, I suppose. Number 20. We went with LaPhonso Ellis. You know, is it Lou Wright? Louis Wright here. He's the one that I see the most like sort of
ring of
debate
fame,
on.
I mean,
he was really good.
Yeah.
Maybe like right behind Champ Bailey.
Okay. Probably. That one probably could be flipped then, to be honest with you.
Real quick.
Fonzo L's a good player.
I watched Unrivaled last night. His name comes up a lot in it. Rene Corbet, maybe best hockey name.
Rene Corbet?
Yes.
Oh, that's so great.
That is an epic hockey name.
Anytime it can rhyme is great. 21, Peter Forsberg.
You don't agree with that?
No.
You don't think that's a good hockey name?
No. No. He sounds like he should be the Prime Minister of Canada.
Of Canada?
I don't have to say anything
else.
Wow,
you don't think the Prime Minister of Canada plays a little hockey on the
That means it's a perfect hockey
Absolutely
name.
Not.
21.
If Justin Trudeau ever played hockey, girl, please.
21, Peter Forsberg, another number that's very unlikely to be passed. The only difference with 21, though, again, these are all numbers that are very common, so you're going to get a lot of athletes wearing those numbers across sports, but Peter Forsberg.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. 22.
This is our biggest miss.
Walt Weiss.
Yep, should have been called Lemieux. It's my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just like that's like a straight up like we issue a correction.
Yep, that's straight up. I just double checking the list last night. I don't know how I missed it, but That's Claude the Mute easily.
Yeah, it is. Whoops.
Sorry. Well, and I say that as Walt Weiss was my favorite Rocky ever.
Really?
Yep. He's the reason I wanted to play shortstop as a kid. I loved Walt Weiss. Like, I was like, I'm like the Walt Weiss truther. And the fact that this happened on my watch makes me feel bad.
Yeah, and like, I have my own set of recency bias because I watched Unrivaled last night. Yeah. But, like, the way that those guys talk about, hey, when he showed up, it just changed the feeling. Like, oh, now we're... Like, he was the Conn Smythe winner the year before he came to the Avs.
Yeah, and he held
out. So I was like, oh, now you have a championship guy.
Well, and just one of the very, very, very few players whose points per game is higher in the postseason than the regular season.
That's dope.
And also is like...
I love those.
Was like a really good player.
Also happens to be a very big reason for the entire Red Wings rivalry.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you rearrange Chris Draper's face.
Yes.
Man. So, it honestly could use another rearrangement. He gets a little lippy sometimes.
Number 23, sure, we went with Milan Hayduk. I think a pretty easy one as well. There wasn't really any big ones. We got a couple of strings here that I think were kind of easy. Actually, 24 is interesting. Champ Bailey wins it. I think it's the right call, no question. Spencer Haywood's very short tenure in Denver.
Didn't he have like one season that was absolutely bananas?
It's like 35-20 or something like that. I mean, it was an NBA. Right? It is a rookie season. Like, it's like, but it was, again, one of those like early days of professional basketball. Very hard to quantify. It was a very short tenure in Denver before, you know, moving on. So it's a tough one. But Spencer Haywood, the Nuggets do such a bad job. I'm a Nuggets fanatic. They do. It's such a tough thing to really learn about the Nuggets history. And if you were to go back and do this pre-1970s, you would probably start with David Thompson. You would get to Spencer Haywood, I think, next. That's how sort of great he was as a player.
Speaking of like not acknowledging history, I was just talking about this on Bets. We as a society don't acknowledge the Colorado Rockies hockey team at all.
Oh, right.
Was there anyone that could have made this list? Because technically they, big four, they were deserved.
Professional.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, there were some guys.
So you gotta see what I mean. We just
there were some guys that I could revisit, but to me, they just don't mentally in my brain. I don't acknowledge their existence.
Yeah, no one does.
Which is mostly because I think of them as the New Jersey Devils,
for sure. Which they are now.
Yeah, the same way that I don't think of the Avs as the Quebec Nordiques anymore. The two franchises that
right,
you know.
Chris Harris Jr. At number 25, another one that was pretty easy. A little bit of a weak number, not a lot. If you're an up-and-coming great player, I think you should try to be 25.
Didn't we have a conversation about this?
Mm-mm.
No? Okay.
What's that?
Oh, someone brought someone up.
Yeah, I thought that's
what... Oh, it was a Rapids.
Was a Rapids? Okay.
Cool.
Pablo Mastroianni.
It was Pablo, right. Yeah.
26, Clinton Portis. You have Ellis Burks and Paul Stastny.
Three very good players.
I think this one was controversial.
I think of those three, Clinton Portis should be third.
Whoa.
Behind Ellis Burks.
Yeah.
Clinton Portis, dude.
I'm sorry, part of the Blake Street Bombers?
I know, but Clinton Portis was dominant.
He was really good.
And then he got us Champ Bailey.
I love that you're quantifying that.
That counts.
Did you factor that in, AJ? Come on.
Like, that counts. He was good enough to get us a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Good enough for the other team to be stupid.
The case for Stastny?
I mean, he had one of the great rookie seasons in all of Colorado sports history that gets completely overlooked.
Yeah.
And the only reason that he didn't win the Calder that year is because some guy named Sidney Crosby did.
Yeah.
And was like on his way to being like one of those guys. He had a very good Avs tenure. The team wasn't any good, and the league learned Paul Stastny can't be your best player.
Right.
But I he was a really good, really productive top line player for the Avalanche for like a long time. Whereas Clinton Portis was a shooting star.
27 now is one of the. There's a couple of numbers here that were like real big. 27 is one of them.
Yeah.
Steve Atwater is 27.
Yeah.
He won this one, and that number, more so than most players in Broncos history, I identified that number with a player like 27 for whatever reason. So same. Steve Atwater, 27, he owns it. But it's important to note that he shares it with Scott Parker, okay, Trevor Story, and Jamal Murray. Can Jamal Murray pass Steve Atwater?
Yes.
It would be very tough, but look, he could do it. But Trevor Story, Jamal Murray, Steve Atwater, that's a hell of a top three for a number. It's one of the best ones we have.
And I understand that enforcers have a certain thing, but if you poll Avalanche fans, longtime Avalanche fans, who's your favorite Avalanche enforcer? Scott Parker wins.
Yeah. Yeah, you might even get some favorite players.
I understand the role of the enforcer, like, and like where they fit in.
Yeah.
I get it, but he would be their Mike Allstott.
Yeah, again, sure. If we were talking about some of these other numbers, I would understand it. But I'm saying these are three guys that are all on the short. Like, Jamal Murray has a chance to be a top 10 nugget of all time.
For sure.
Talking about 60 years of history, totally. Top 10 nugget of all time. And that's, I'm just saying, it's rarefied air that you're going to be in.
If Scott Parker wore out there
for like Scott Parker to say, hey, look, like that dude.
If Scott Parker wore 67, he would have won it.
Well, that's because that was George Godecki and Keith Middleton.
But that's what I mean. Like, you just got a bad number.
Will Jamal Murray be greater than Steve Atwater when it's all said and done?
Not from a feelings perspective.
I'm saying yes.
He might have a greater impact on bigger things.
Okay.
I'm saying yes.
Because, okay, like, Steve Atwater wasn't the second best player on the Broncos.
It's different for football. There's so many players, but nonetheless.
But he could be the second best player on a championship team.
He's already given us some really iconic moments, too. Here's the thing about Jamal. He's not as good of a player as Jokic. In the playoffs, he kind of has equal amount of iconic moments. He hasn't been as good consistently or this or that, but I'm just saying his peaks are so high.
Iconic moments.
Do it outside the bubble.
Well, he has his first run. He only has two playoff runs. Saved one was a bubble.
Spurs series.
That Spurs series, he had like 2018 or something in the fourth quarter, all in a row, and it was bubble-esque where you're like, this guy's never going to miss again.
Think about Jokic, and I think this will be, like, he does have iconic moments, but he plays at such a high level for so long that like, they're not moments. They're just games where he was just great the whole time.
Jokic's iconic moments, we call them March. Like,
or seasons. He's really on. He's really on like 800 days straight of iconic games. So he's on a run right now. Number 28, Nolan Arenado. No real competition unless you consider Jameer Nelson's 1 year with Nuggets a competition.
Oh, come on.
Number 29, Nathan MacKinnon. Another number that is very likely to go untouched. Also has nobody that he's competing with. Number 30. When we talk about, again, Steve Atwater's 27, 30 is Terrell Davis. That's like a number.
Can I just mention how different this could have been after MacKinnon's rookie season? Because he wore 22 in junior and did not wear 22 because an Avs veteran had it already and didn't ask.
Wow.
When he was a rookie.
I like that.
Coming into his second season, I remember asking him, oh, are you going to swap numbers? And he said, I'm a 29 now. Wow. That was it. He never wanted to change it. He said, I'm 29 in the NHL. It's all I'm wearing. It's all I want
to
be.
Does the NHL do the thing where if you switch your number, you have to buy all the jerseys off the shelves? That's what the NFL does.
Oh, that's crazy.
If you change your number, you have to pay for everything that was already created with that number on
That's
it.
Wild.
I don't think so, but it was a lot of people were expecting him to switch to 22. And he was like, no, I'm a 29 now. And I wonder, like, 22. He would have beat out Claude Lemieux, and we would be looking at it like, wow, what a power number for the Avs. And
it's kind of cool, Peter Forsberg. I like when there's 21, 22. It's kind of cool. So
yeah, well, and 19 would have been right there. All we needed was a great 20.
Yeah. Rene Corbett. Man. Yeah. Best hockey team ever.
There you go. Rene Corbett. Where are we at here? 31, Justin Simmons. This is a weak number. Justin Simmons is a good player. This is a number that's up for grabs.
And
it's a common one. 31's a common number. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
Nene, I mean, had a little bit of a case here.
We had a longevity.
It went to a vote.
It went to a vote. It went to a vote for sure. Nene was like a good player.
He was really likable.
He was extremely likable. He never. He always felt like he was 80% what he should be, and that what he was probably better than put people's mind because they always viewed him through that lens.
Yeah, and then I mean,
I remembered a lot of like
Kmart bullying.
Next year is the year, you know, like he takes the next step.
Here's the other thing about Nene is he was in Denver for a majority of his career, a very long time, and he doesn't feel like a Nugget. If that makes sense, like he's not a guy that you see around town or you hear his name and like this or that. Like he was good enough that you should sort of equate him to being a Nugget. This again, the Nuggets haven't always done a good job of like
embracing.
That's what makes it feel is like there's guys that were a Laker for 10 years, like that's a Laker no matter what. Nuggets.
Well, in the way that we talk about like Antonio McDice, where you're like
totally guy is it's a nugget. Yeah, he wouldn't tell you that, but yeah.
First what? Super weak number here at a 32.
And now we're at 32, which is the last one before a break, and we got Jason Jennings. Really nothing there. There's really nothing there.
Jason Jennings was
a good number.
For a Rockies pitcher, he was good.
Yeah.
And he also had one of the most iconic debuts in Colorado sports history.
This is really what won
complete
it.
Complete game shutout and a home run as a pitcher in his first game ever.
Against the Mets.
He was sick.
What would be the football equivalent of that debut?
Oh, man. I mean, it would be a quarterback going like...
Throwing for 350 yards, four touchdowns,
and causing
a fumble after your running back gave it up.
Yes, yes. Because like, you got to do something on the other side.
Exactly. There's got to be a two-way element to it.
Yep.
Let's take a break. On the other side, the single most competitive number in all of Colorado.
Ooh, all right. Really. Here we go. But first, maybe. First, we go a shout-out to our friends over at Manscaped. If you're heading down to Broncos training camp, you are going to be sweating. So you're going to need some Manscaped products. And they have some great ones to help you maybe not smell bad after you sweat. So check out the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver. Great, great products. Obviously, the Lawnmower 4.0, if you're looking to get rid of some hair. But all of their stuff is great. I even use their shampoo and conditioner, their body wash. Just top to bottom, they have a lot of great products. They came out with their own deodorant, just standard deodorant now. So check out our friends over at Manscaped. Use the code DNVR20 for 20% off plus free shipping.
And we back?
Yes.
I think it's fitting that in the 303, the number 33 is full of icons. Just full of it. If we go here.
The weirdest part of this is the Broncos just aren't really involved.
No, Javonte could change it.
Okay.
I'm just saying he could get involved.
Wait, what?
I mean, he could be the best that for the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not going to be on these.
No. We're talking about three like pantheon level players for the Rockies, Avs, and Nuggets. So,
yes.
With all due respect, Javonte Williams cannot be in that category.
He would. I mean,
it's not impossible.
He would have to be like a Hall of Fame player.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. But I mean, he's off to a great start.
Okay. Hall of Fame player is gonna be tough.
Okay.
This was the one that. This is one of the answers that most tore DNVR apart. You've got three players. I think everybody agrees. You have Larry Walker, David Thompson, Patrick Wall. I'll start with David Thompson because he came in third. David Thompson is like Wilt Chamberlain. He is a legend that goes beyond like anything because he existed right before where you had games on national television, all this stuff, you know, famously scored, was it 73 points in the final day as he was chasing? Like he's one of, I don't know, six players to score more than 70 points in a game in NBA history, which is absolutely absurd to think about. And he did it in this iconic way. He needed 70 to win the scoring title. And so he got 70. Like it's a crazy thing to be like, what do I need? 70? That's impossible. Boom. Go out and do it. He's the inspiration for Michael Jordan. He introduced Michael Jordan.
I was going to say, if you ask Michael Jordan who his favorite player is, he might say David Thompson. That's about as good as
he was Michael Jordan before Michael Jordan, by all accounts, and he was an effortless scorer, great player. He's on the all-ABA team, meaning the entirety of the ABA. He is one of the five guys they deem the best of it, of that had ever existed. He's an icon. If you talked about greatest Nuggets of all time, I think Jokic is number one. Best... You start to talk about career and impact and this or that. But if you just said like the peak of where these guys were, David Thompson might be number two. He's the only guy that has gotten like significant MVP votes other than Jokic. You know, other guys one vote or this or that. David Thompson right there. He is one of the all-time greats. And yet he comes in third. He comes in third on this list.
Kind
of.
And I think if you were to rank, if you were to ask Denver sports fans to rank these three players, most of them would have the order that we have them in.
I think it's probably right, to be honest. Like the problem with David Thompson, he derailed his career with drugs. It was at the point in time when the NBA was having a cocaine problem. It was very, you know, he kind of never became what he should have been. But if you ask any old head about the NBA, anybody above 60 years old about like what was your favorite this or that, they almost will all tell you, oh, David Thompson. And it's always a Wilt Chamberlain-esque story. I saw him live because they were on TV at this time. You know, I saw him live and I saw him grab a quarter off the top of the backboard. I saw him jump from the free throw line in a game and dunk on a guy. I saw him score 55 points and they were quadruple teaming him at half court. Like the stories are all legendary. Larry Walker, greatest Rocky. We all know.
Finally stayed healthy, won an MVP.
Won an MVP, and he's also kind of a thing of legend. Like, I love the Larry Walker legend is equal parts where you're almost like he was. He's kind of a mini Babe Ruth to me, in that the game was so easy to him.
Yes.
100%. You'll hear people tell stories of, like, he didn't even come to batting practice. People didn't know where he was. He showed up hungover 2 minutes before first pitch and went 3-for-4 with two bombs.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about three of the greatest to ever do it in these guys, but it's no-brainer in my opinion, and I think for most people that voted on this, that Patrick Waugh's head and shoulders above everyone else, the greatest goalie to ever play, champion.
You just end there.
We just end there. Like, we're not just talking about, oh, he's a Hall of Famer, oh, he was an MVP, or, you know, this or that. It's that he's probably the greatest to do what he did.
Yeah. I mean, changed goaltending, like, changed...
Influential.
How goaltenders played the game, which changes how pads got designed, which changed how shooters had to grow up shooting.
Yeah.
Because no longer could they just, I'm just going to, you know, I'll just fire it around this guy who's standing up. And, you know, he revolutionized so much of how the game got played because he single-handedly, if you go and you look at his numbers, through today's lens, you're like, wow, those are really good numbers. And then you go and you look at those numbers through the lens of a 1988, 1989 goaltender.
Right.
Where Grant Fuhr is in the Hall of Fame and is viewed as one of the great goalies of all time, who had an .890 save percentage and people fall all over themselves. And Patrick Waugh casually has a .920 save percentage. He's 30 points better than that guy.
Right.
It would be like a goaltender today... In today's world of .920 and the occasional .930 goaltender, having a .960 save percentage. You're talking about all-time great numbers, a legendary status, just an unimpeachable record. Three Conn Smythe, the only NHL player ever to win three Conn Smythe. It's hard to win three Stanley Cups. And then to be the best player in three different cup runs?
So this is what's crazy. Larry Walker, the greatest Rocky ever. David Thompson, a top three or four or five, depending on how you put it, nugget ever. Yeah. But certainly the peak of a top two ever. And we all three sort of feel it's like not close when we talk about who's the best. Yeah. So what did we go with? The Walker.
Yes.
RK.
To me, this was about taking the seriousness out of this.
Cut the edge off a little.
Yes. Like, I thought...
Could have done that with a Rapids player.
No, it wouldn't have. Like, this is like a fun little Easter egg that's like, if you're in the club, you kind of get this little joke that we did. It's not that serious. Let's have some fun with this. I don't think it ended up working. But to me, that was the idea. It's like a fun little thing. The Walker jersey is hilarious. Like, objectively hilarious. You took Waugh, you added Kerr. They're both 33.
Just his name.
That's hilarious.
The added benefit of Larry Walker, the Canadian who grew up playing goaltender. It's a great tie-in, right? Yeah. No, it's still an abomination. Yeah.
I love it, and I'm glad to see that there are people that are responding to this being like, I love that little tidbit. That was the point of this. It's not at all saying they're equal. Patrick Waugh is far and away the better one.
It doesn't count for anything.
It's not like this.
I'm with AJ. Here's what's funny is like we kind of feel like I want to get it right so bad, and like we're like laboring over these ones
all this time,
and then you get to this and it's like
dumb numbers and all the like. Oh, we're debating all the back and forth like Valerie Kamensky versus Val Nichushkin versus who Charlie Hayes, and you're like, oh, what are like who's the best and this and that, and then. We get to 33, the greatest number of all the numbers, and we just punt, and we're like,
It was a tough one. It was a really, really
tough
one.
For what it's worth, I felt like I didn't even push that hard for this. I think that'd be funny.
Well, it's funny, because I think the vote was really like 8-2. Like, it was AJ and Adam on an island here, and it was everybody else. So, and then, honestly, in the chats, like, when we put this out on Twitter, it's like 50-50. Half the people hate it, they're not coming with us, and half the people are like, love that, best one, like, perfect job. So... I guess this is one of those things where it's like, however you look at it, really just tells you more about yourself than anything else. Like, for me, it's nails on a chalkboard. For other people, it's like the perfect thing. So that's how it works. But 33, it's just important to know. I think it's cool. Iconic number.
Can we get a Bronco?
Can we get a Bronco? Honestly,
come on, Javonte.
We need a great Bronco at 33 because that would really just make for the coolest. And it's 303. It makes a lot of sense.
Who is it now? Like, who was on that list? What was it, like, David Bruton?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of other ones.
Well, special teams guy?
It hasn't been a good number for them.
I'm going to skip around here really because good number in NFL we start history. To get to some numbers that don't they're not really all that competitive here.
Yeah.
The next one that's interesting to me is number 40. We gave it to Alex Tanguay. Byron Beck is the first and one of seven Nuggets who have been whose jerseys have been retired. Byron Beck played for the ABA Rockets, Denver Rockets, the ABA Denver Nuggets, and the NBA Denver Nuggets. He's one of only a handful of players that played in the entire ABA, and he was like an important player. Was he a great one? He was never the best player on any of those teams. He was not the second best player on many of the teams, the ones that were good. And here's the crazy thing. Again, the Nuggets are bad at telling their own story. Try to find any information about Byron Beck online.
Literally, I linked to his Wikipedia last night where it was like...
Two sentences.
He worked hard, he was a tenacious rebounder, and he had a good hook shot.
New Jersey is retired at Ball Arena. It's so little about him. I mean, 16 points, 8 rebounds. Like, the numbers are not numbers that you would be like, oh my God.
He topped out at 14.5 points per game.
14.5. That being said,
14.5 and 11 rebounds.
That being said, 57 years of history, 58 years of history, 7 retired jerseys. He's one of them. He was the first one, but it does feel a little bit more token. We gave it to Alex Tanguay.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I blame the Nuggets on this one. Like,
I would too.
Like, if there's a great story, like, you know, the Floyd Little story. Like, I used that to make the case for Floyd Little, where I was like, dude, he saved the franchise. Like, people were out on them, and he came and made it. Maybe Byron Beck has that story. We just don't know it.
Right, right. It becomes very difficult to you're really arguing for the fact that the team retired the jersey. Yeah. And if you say, why did they retire it, it's a little bit more difficult. We keep going down a little bit. The next one that's super interesting is going to be 44, another controversy. Floyd Little, the franchise, one of the most important Broncos in the history of the organization, one of the most important athletes in Denver. Dan Issel is also one of the most important Nuggets ever.
Cultural impact in opposite directions.
Well, you're right. It is funny to think Floyd Little saved the Broncos. Dan Issel kind of killed the Nuggets for a while. Like, he kind of killed them.
And torched his own legacy.
But let's just get into this real quick. He's top five in every statistical category. He's number one in games played, minutes played, all of that. He's like number two in points. He's number one in rebounds. He's number one in a lot of these because he played a long time and he was a very good player. This is not a situation where it's like he was a scrub. He was a very, very good player. And he was a stiff for sure. But here in the era of basketball where most of them are stiffs, here's the thing. The Nuggets have 4 golden eras. He was a part of 2 of them. It's actually a pretty astonishing thing that he was a part of 2 golden eras for the Nuggets. The 90s, little mini gold, you know, 1 year, but not really a golden era. But you have the 70s, you have the 80s, and then you have the 2000s, and then the era we're in now. He played for 2 of them. Then he coached one of the most iconic moments, Denver upsetting in 94. I know where he can't fully factor it in, but it's important to put here. He was a GM, a 2-time. He's the 5th winningest coach in Nuggets history, which is insane. He's an important Nugget, an extremely important Nugget. So I think there's a real argument that he was a better player / impact on, you know, just the actual part of the game as Floyd Little. Floyd Little is the larger icon for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Floyd Little, Hall of Famer. Again, nicknamed the franchise because he really was the Broncos for a while there. And you could make, I don't think this would happen, but you could make the case if Floyd Little doesn't save the Broncos, Denver never becomes a sports town.
Right. After that, I don't know if we had any controversial ones. Did we have anyone down the line? I don't think we did. You start to get into
91.
91. Let's see. 91. Oh, Kadri and Alfred Williams. Let's do it.
I mean, this is again where...
I love Kadri. This is an easy sell for me.
Well, so the thing for me was that each had one truly great season. Alfred Williams, it was his first year with the Broncos. He has 13 sacks. He finishes 3rd in Defensive Player of the Year voting. He's on the All-Pro team. Like... He has a great peak. He has that great, great year. Nazem Kadri this year, 87 points. He makes the All-Star team, which in the NHL is actually now really hard to do. He makes the All-Star team. He has by far the best year of his career. He's a point-per-game player in the regular season. He's a point-per-game player in the postseason. He's got an iconic moment in...
No, he doesn't. He has two.
No, so he's got an iconic moment in shutting down St. Louis, the whole city.
Yeah.
You know, all the racism stuff that happened with him. You know,
he's calling his shot.
All the threats and all that stuff. And he goes out there and drops a hat trick.
No, he drops a goal and he points at everyone to let him know he's not done. It's like the most... Honestly, it's like the stuff of legend to tell people like, no, you guys know what I'm doing. I'm doing something here. And then to go out and do it. It's the most, it's honestly Babe Ruth pointing at where the home run's about to go.
It's going to be like, it's hard to appreciate now, but in 20 years, we'll all remember this run from Nazem Kadri. And then he gets Evander Kane, like daddy scumbag of them all, has been wanting a pound of flesh because he's big mad the Oilers can't hang with the Avs. Gets his pound of flesh in the form of Nazem Kadri. Kadri breaks his thumb. Looks like he's done.
Yeah.
That looks like the end. Comes back in the Stanley Cup final. Scores the game-winning goal in game four. His first game back. Scores the game-winning goal.
The singular moment of this playoff run, in my opinion, is going to be the most memorable single moment to me.
And you're talking about he puts together a couple of great moments. And you have two guys who are probably two short-timers. Because Kadri, he has a sign somewhere else. Although I'm a little nervous because this pod's been like an hour and you just never know. And so you got two guys who are probably going to be in Denver for three seasons.
Yeah.
And
that Alfred Williams
run? Alfred Williams. Wow. Alfred Williams was great.
Man.
That first year.
He
was part of two Super Bowl winners.
Yeah.
He played his role. I don't remember anything in particular. That's probably because I was just too young. Like, yeah. And I'm probably overlooking something. Statistically, he had good seasons those years after that first year. But what Kadri did, it felt so much bigger than the game because his past reputation, all of the demons that he exercised in like just what a 2 month span, the 2 months of the postseason, all of it, it was just something really special that felt like it rose above sports. And it felt like we gave it to Alfred Williams because Big Al is a Colorado icon. He went to see you. He's one of us. He played for the Broncos. He's been part of Broncos radio for my entire life. Right. Like he's an icon.
They're close, though. I mean, I think at least we could say they're close because you're right that Kadri has these really big moments. The moments are a little
on field moments.
But this is what I'm saying. Those moments are a little bit bigger than him. And I'm not trying to take away from him. I'm saying like he outperformed his stature in the Avs
for right, what like they he's are. He's a second line player.
He's a second line player, and yet he has two of the biggest, probably the top two biggest moments of this entire run. So, again, as much as those things do matter, I'm not trying to take them away. Like they still belong in the context of it was a special moment at the right time.
To me, I think you're totally right about short stint players in Denver that had like really high peaks, and I think what ended up happening is Al's Denver icon status served as a tiebreaker.
Well, and I think culturally, I mean, Nazem Kadri going on the ice, everybody who said I was a liability in the postseason can kiss my ass.
That's right. Awesome.
The too many men shirt at the parade, which he had actually gotten ready to go for game five in case they won the cup. Like, he had that thing ready to rock early and then had to sit on it. So,
yeah, I mean,
like, I mean, we're talking like Nazem Kadri, like, this is the one where the cultural argument really didn't feel good to me because it felt like we gave Alfred Williams the player credit for Alfred Williams,
the person, like the
guy, like the all these things that Kadri's still playing, so he hasn't had a chance to do. Not that I think Nazem Kadri is going to be a leading voice in Denver sports radio. What he's done,
no, but
I just think Kadri got robbed here because between the two players. Their on-field impacts, and again, all respect to Big Al, who's a legend, and love the guy, but what Nazem Kadri did was more important to the Avalanche than what Alfred Williams brought to the Broncos.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things here, and I said it during this conversation, I was like, I hate arguing against Kadri because I legitimately adore Kadri. But I think one thing is you know, we're talking pretty close, I think, in terms of caliber of player for their teams. And two Super Bowls for Al versus one for Kadri so far. Could come back.
The difference being that Alfred Williams was on those teams and Kadri
Yeah, I mean, he was still a very good player.
He
like
was,
a very,
and he was a starter. A
staple
he
of the edge
opposite,
rushers.
He yeah. was opposite Neil Smith. Like yeah. He was not a role player. I understand that. But Nazem Kadri was not a role player. He was not a guy that was part of it. He was a leading man in the story.
They probably don't win.
A leading man that, in the story.
Totally agree. Yeah. And then
he almost single-handedly shut down that St. Louis series.
Again, you're kind of like preaching to the choir.
And then to do what he did with a broken thumb in the Stanley Cup final. I mean,
I get it.
This and one were the only ones that like upset me because I was like, I
think that
robbed.
If Kadri comes back, he takes this away pretty easily.
And I don't feel like Alfred Williams, the Broncos player, was iconic in any way. I feel like Alfred Williams...
You guys are getting a look into what this was like.
Alfred,
I'm telling you, this is
Alfred
what it was
Williams,
like.
Only... all aspects considered, had the better case. But Alfred Williams, the Broncos player wearing number 91, was not better.
It's not your fault.
I don't know. I think it's really close. I think it's really, really close. And I think that Al was a staple of two championship teams and had a top tier third and defensive player of the year. I think is a higher accomplishment than anything
on the team that choked to Jacksonville, which hurts.
But it doesn't matter. It's still important.
In terms
thing.
Of highest highs, like he was the third best defensive player in the league that year. I don't think you could say that Kadri was the third best
this one
center in the league.
This
at
one
any
to
point.
Me is honestly, it's not like the you know Larry Walker, Patrick Waters. This like this one to me, they're close enough that I honestly think you could probably pull from this. That I will say, as we've done this, and now we're kind of concluding and wrapping this up. But as we did this, you do see little things like we always talk about. We're a younger company in terms of like the people that work here skew a little bit younger, and I think you have a tendency when you're young to do the recency bias part. And then you have the part, I think, that we probably do, especially you and I would say, AJ, of like being afraid of being too recency biased. So you almost go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that can be inverted if you get to some of the older people. They're always going to tell you about how Bob Cousy, you know, whatever. So you can that tension can be a little bit. But when we did this, 96 to 98, I think, is the one era that for whatever reason just gets a little bit more like that's the one spot where everything comes together and everyone looks at that era and elevates it just a little bit. Maybe Alfred Williams is part of that, but I'm not even just talking about him. There was a lot of players where it was like, hey, is it this person?
A lot of this like comes down to how these people make you feel.
Sure.
And I think a big part of the Al story, and by the way, you know, I'm 6 years old at this, so I'm not as well equipped with the details of Al as you are with Kadri right now with that just happening. But like one thing about Al is he's a Buffs legend, right? And wins a national championship here. Doesn't count anything for this. He gets drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals, one of the worst organizations in sports, and finally gets an opportunity to go back to Colorado, takes the opportunity, and ever since then has just been telling the world what a great place Denver is. And I just think it counts. Like the way that people embrace the city ends up affecting how we feel about them. And like Al has just like adored Denver for all these years.
You have a guy that got shut down by Toronto and his hometown team, cast aside, kicked out of there, sent to Colorado. He shows up in Colorado. Okay, whatever. And then that St. Louis series just changed everything because before that he was a guy having a great year. And then after that, he was one of us.
Yep, totally.
Because St. Louis went at him in a way that we all deemed unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis, what happened in St. Louis was like, it was like the worst of humanity showing itself again. And Denver wrapped its arms around Nazem Kadri and said, you're one of us. And he returned the favor.
He returned the favor of it.
And he became, and now he's out there. He's as big of an advocate as Denver as anybody. He just isn't on a radio show yet because he's still out there kicking ass.
If he signs with the Avs, then I'll say
it doesn't even matter. When he signs when he signs with the Islanders and he leaves, we're gonna look back on this. And this is the 10 years from now, when we talk about this graphic, I'm gonna be right about this.
It might be. But sometimes
I'm gonna be right about this because we will have let that same nostalgia that's driving all the Big Al shit in this. Will have taken over for Kadri.
But sometimes, though,
and we will look at that the same way.
But to be fair, though, AJ, sometimes you need that perspective, though. Like, It's almost unfair to say that because sometimes, like, you do get a better grasp. I mean, first of all, like, maybe he does leave and the Avs win four more straight in a row. And then maybe, it changes like, there's these types of things where you're like, yeah, well, maybe they would have won without or this or that. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe we will have that perspective, but it's important sometimes to get the time to be able to have that perspective. It's hardest, I think, to analyze things that happened 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. It is.
So that, and Kadri maybe is a guy that is getting penalized for that specific part.
Yeah, this was a thing that you could look at and see. We knew living it how special it was.
Yeah.
We knew this is just different. This is not...
He was my second favorite part of this run.
Not a
Kale
thing
McCart, so
that, this is not a thing that happens in sports. You don't get the guy on this side of it who goes out and does this and then gets the championship and then literally on national television tells everybody to kiss his ass.
I mean, again, that part doesn't factor in for me, but that's okay. Guys, we got to wrap up.
That part doesn't factor in, but all this other shit about Big Al not during his Broncos tenure does.
Yeah.
The liberal use of the cultural impact.
It was close.
Here.
This one was a very close one, though, I think.
And that's why I'm saying, really, really it's close. So close to me that if Kadri were just to come back, it might push him over that.
That does that's it. Let's guys, back. Let's never
you
do this
tell
again.
Him.
Yeah.
Let's Send never do this again.
Yeah. No. We're not revisiting this.
Berkey over Wolf. I'm glad I won that one.
Oh, there you go. You win some, you lose some. Isn't that the story of life? Isn't that the story of sports? And isn't that the story of a company putting our heads together? Nobody. Mitchell hasn't talked
to
anybody in the company for 24 hours. Dwayne, I think he's called into sick. It really tore the company apart debating these ones.
The Rabbits guys were really upset.
They were very upset. They were very upset.
And I think I totally understood their case.
Yeah, I did same. Too. I
totally
did. We all understood.
My problem was the
slippery slope.
It was the Rapids, then you open it up to. Then you open it up to the Outlaws, you open it up to the Mammoth.
Championship franchise.
Yeah, franchises that had more success than the Rapids.
That does it for this mega edition of the Denver Sports Podcast. You guys see the tweet up on Twitter if you're a person on Twitter, or if you're just here on YouTube watching us, let us know in the comments. Where did you agree? Where did you disagree? Who do you side with on the great
comments
Big
are
Al?
Cool. We just can't read them.
Yeah, so there you go. So you guys engage with it, try to have fun with it, argue like we did, but come back to the dinner table when it's all said and done. Hit that like button on the way out.